Welcome to the Living Life on Purpose podcast with your host, Michael Mukunda Chandra Cohan, the founder of YourWellnessYogi.com and the Living Life on Purpose community. The Living Life on Purpose podcast is a show dedicated to inspiring people to achieve their goals and live their dreams to the highest potential. Life is short. Learn to live it on purpose. Inside all of us is a powerful spark of the divine, and yet as life's challenges grind and wear us down, many of us forget that inner spark. However, that spark never leaves us, and if we stray too far from it, we will be unhappy in our life. At Your Wellness Yogi and the Living Life on Purpose community, we are dedicated to helping you discover that inner spark in life. We offer a variety of life coaching packages that meet your needs and budget. We have group coaching, monthly mindfulness mastermind calls, and one-to-one coaching. Get started today and take advantage of our two free personal one-to-one coaching conversations by taking the Circle of Life quiz, a free life assessment tool that helps you reveal the big picture of your true dreams and paves the road for real personalized action plan to take control of your life. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/life. Before we get started, I wanted to ask you a favor, to write us an honest review of our podcast. By writing us a review, you will help raise our profile so more people can find us on iTunes. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/podcast and click on subscribe to open up in iTunes and write us a review. You can also write us a review on your device as you listen to the show by opening up the podcast app. Thank you and enjoy this week's episode, and I appreciate you listening.
Hey guys, welcome to part two with Jonathan Pritchard. If you missed last week's episode, please pause this episode and go back to last week and download the previous episode with Jonathan Pritchard. This is part two where we dive deep into another area of expertise that Jonathan explored, all things related to martial arts and what it means to practice martial arts, the spiritual connection to martial arts, and how one can begin to practice the study of martial arts. This is a fun episode for me, as I've always wanted to get into martial arts, but I've always struggled as an adult to, one, find the time, two, find a studio that's appropriate for adults, and three, every time I get started practicing martial arts, I end up moving and having to start all over again. So I've never been able to fully go down the journey to get a black belt in a particular style of martial arts. And that's been my frustration, and we do talk about that also on today's podcast. Thank you for listening, as always, and have a great day.
So I am recording now, and yes, every afternoon, John, I have a cup of tea with some coconut oil and some cinnamon in it. I do that because if I don't, I end up craving like donuts or cake in the afternoon when I go teach yoga, and I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and I go, ooh, sugar. And so if I have a cup of tea with coconut oil in it and a little cinnamon in the afternoon and maybe like one piece of good dark chocolate, I end up not going, sugar.
Yep. Dude, breaking my sugar habit was probably one of the hardest things I ever did. Because I always like to say, I got married, I got fat, I got divorced, I got fatter. I was just kind of spiraling out and realized, you know, I need to do something, and I don't do moderation very well. So I either do something or I don't. So I said, well, I basically have to just cut out all sugar across the board. And I went full keto, that whole thing, and it changed my life. But it was not easy. I do. I really do, because it's awful to start, because your body has been used to burning sugar and getting sugar so much that it kind of rebels, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a rebellious child, and it goes, I know that if I just misbehave long enough, they'll give in.
Mm-hmm.
So that transition period is horrible. But then eventually your body starts burning fat for fuel. And I have ample stores of that. And it goes from being able to do it to gets good at it to prefers it. So then you just don't get hungry anymore, right? Because your body has ample stores of energy available on hand. So there are some days where I get sucked into writing or designing or whatever, and I'll realize it's dark outside and I haven't eaten anything today. And it's not because I consciously well, I got to go on a diet and watch my calories. It's more of a, I just don't get hungry all that much. And I notice the instant I eat sugar or anything that converts to sugar, my appetite just comes right back and I get ravenous no matter how many calories of sugar I've eaten. I'm hungry for more.
So no fruit?
No fruit. Yeah. Wow. Because fruit is, to me, nature's way of tricking you into eating fiber.
Well, and fruits are carbohydrates, so fruits are sugar.
Right. That old fructose kind of thing. And people are like, well, it'll spike your insulin in a different way, but in like a good way. So you don't need to yeah, sure. If you want to go to moderation, excellent. But I don't, like I said, I don't do moderation very well. So I go, all right, leafy greens and vegetables that aren't going to spike my insulin. Awesome. Anything else? Off limits, essentially, it's not meat or fat.
Well, that's pretty disciplined. See, when I was in my late 20s, I was married, and my ex-wife was a Israeli who became really Jewish religious, a Orthodox Jewish woman. And when she got divorced, I sort of kept that culture for a little while as an Orthodox Jewish man. Mm-hmm. And I found myself to be very, very restrictive and very limiting. And I really held on and really gritted through trying to keep kosher.
Right.
And when I reintegrated back into like the world from my divorce, from my anger issues, mm-hmm. I promised myself I would never be so restrictive and so dogmatic in anything I did. Yeah. And so instead of being a vegan, when I came a yogi, I came a vegetarian. And instead of cutting out sugar and being really restrictive when it comes to sugar, I decided that I was going to make a rule. Sunday evening through Friday afternoon, I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to eat only the things I cook in my house and healthy organic food that I buy, aka like Ezekiel bread. And mm-hmm. I'm going to eat like, you know, good organic fruit for breakfast and have chia seeds and flax seeds and for lunch, a salad, and eat really good all the way up until Friday afternoon. And then Friday afternoon into Friday evening, Saturday into Sunday afternoon, I'm just going to do whatever I want. And I'm not going to care. I'm not going to hold myself accountable. I'm just going to have fun. And I do know, and I do notice two things. One thing, when I eat really clean food Sunday evening through Friday afternoon and I eat really good, I feel good. I feel clean. My mind's clear. I have mm-hmm. sleep well. I have good energy. I'm not angry. I have a positive outlook on life and I'm happy and I get things done. And then on the weekend when I start to eat a little bad, which is not that bad when I say bad, I might have like
right.
two slices of pizza on a Friday night if my fiance is teaching yoga till 9, or her and I might get a vegan cheesecake on Saturday night for dinner, and I might have a bagel for breakfast. Like, I'm not talking about really bad. I'm talking about my level of bad. Or
right.
you might get an Impossible burger and French fries one night as a treat. For the most part, we still eat really healthy, but I do know when I eat a little like unhealthy on the weekends, I get a little bit more tired. I have to take a nap. And I notice those differences.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really neat to live your life like an experiment and just mess around with stuff like that. Right. Because I love going on a fast mm-hmm. and spending a day or three not eating anything. And then seeing what your sense of smell does, how sharp it gets, how attentive you are to every little thing that your body's doing. It's kind of like hunter mode engaged. And you realize, I am an animal. Yeah. This is amazing. Yeah. I love being able to do stuff like that and just see what happens.
So what type of fasting do you do? Do you do a strict, like no food, only lemon water for 3 days, or you do a different type of fasting? What is your fasting?
I don't even really do lemon water, but I will do coffee. Mm-hmm. It's like coffee and water. There you go.
That's it.
Yep.
Interesting. Cause, I'm a yogi and a life coach, and I come from that Orthodox tradition of yoga. Mm-hmm. And so twice a month in my tradition, we keep what is called Ekadasi, which is the twice a month with the waxing and the waning of the moon. And we have a partial fast twice a month where we don't eat any bread, beans, nuts. We eat mostly like leafy greens and like root vegetables. Very simple mm-hmm. diet for 24 hours. And there are spiritual reasons for it, but then there's also physical health benefits to it, because twice a month is when the moon is pulling the most water in the Earth's atmosphere, in the oceans, and our bodies are, I don't know what it is, 68-78% water, but I know it's a lot. And it also pulls the water in us. And so when we go into that light fasting during the waxing and the waning of the moon, and our bodies get pulled with that water, it helps detoxify us. And I always feel a little bit better after I keep a codicil. But like you, I still drink coffee, because I know when I don't, I get a total adrenal gland shut down and get a massive headache.
Right. Yeah. For me, it's more of a let's play with my mind and body kind of approach. So I eat a ton of leafy greens all the time. Like that's kind of my vegetable that I mm-hmm. eat is all sorts of different leafy greens. And then just some sort of fat in meat. But yeah, that's it.
Now, do you get into like a lot of the biohacking?
Not really, mainly because it's kind of like I've got bigger things I can change to make a bigger impact than trying to dial in the last 0.5% improvement.
Yeah.
Right. If I were an Olympic athlete, I think I would be looking for more advantages and cutting edge changes that might have a 0.5% impact, because my competition is a 0.25% away. But for me, no, it's just getting sleep, doing kung fu every day, and not eating in a way that makes me feel awful. Like that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm on the same page, but I just like eat right, be clean, and do what feels good for me. And this is the one topic, since you brought it up, that we were going to talk to today. And let's lead right into it with martial arts. What form of martial arts do you practice?
I absolutely love the flavor kung fu that is Wing Chun.
Okay.
That's my daily practice.
That's the method from Bruce Lee and Ip Man. Is that the form you're talking about?
Yeah. So Ip Man kind of made it world famous by his student Bruce Lee, who trained with him for a while. Back in the day, it was kind of poor form to teach a guy that wasn't straight up Chinese, right? Like it really was like that. And since Bruce Lee was kind of American and was going back to San Francisco, all that jazz, it was kind of poor form. So it was like, you know, here's one of my top students. Learn from him. So Bruce Lee learned a lot of what he knows from Ip Man and some of his students. So he learned most of the system, but didn't learn all of it. And he was experiencing some fun challenges that he didn't have the answers to from the Wing Chun system. So he had to find his own answers to it. And that was the creation of Jeet Kune Do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the pathway there. So it's kind of interesting to me to think, well, he only learned a part of the system, what would have happened if he had learned the whole thing, right? You could play all those what if games, but it's just kind of neat to go, he only learned a part of it and he was Bruce Lee. And it just kind of value this treasure that is Wing Chun to not take it for granted and to actually show it the proper respect by practicing it every day. And it's an equation. Life is an equal sign. What you put into it is exactly what you get out of it. So oftentimes people are going, well, it doesn't really do much for me. Like, did you put in any work? Did you actually engage with it in any way? No, I haven't really found the time. Okay. So it's not the system. It's how much effort you're putting into actually practicing it. You're expecting to get results without doing anything that is required of you. Okay, I get it. You are engaged in magical thinking. You think you can get something for nothing without doing anything for it. That's called stealing. Mm-hmm. And Kung Fu will not let you steal skills. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. You only gain them by cultivating them and growing them yourself, which is why you can't right now download Kung Fu. Although that is one of the things that got me interested in it to begin with, was watching The Matrix and seeing Neo get Kung Fu downloaded. It's like, that's amazing. I want to do that. But until that day, to me, Wing Chun is the closest thing we have to downloading Kung Fu into your bodies, because it doesn't include every single movement or posture that your body could possibly do, but it includes everything you need to deal with. How do I handle somebody else's momentum coming at me with really, really malevolent intent? How do I handle that? Well, there's your system right there.
I want to follow up with two questions here, and I need to make sure that I remember to ask the two questions. And the first one is, you, from what I understand, you got into martial arts or Kung Fu when you were an adult. And I want to know what that is like, because for me, I'm a yoga teacher and I love yoga, but I also have this desire one of these days to get a black belt in some sort of martial arts, Kung Fu, Taekwondo, Karate. And what I struggle with is I end up going to these like martial arts studios that are predominantly filled with kids. And I just kind of like punch a bag and then I stay there long enough and I get a belt. And then I punch a bag some more and I stay there and I get a belt. And there's no spirituality to it. There's no real mindfulness to it. And I kind of, after like 6 months, I'm like, okay, I got my yellow belt. Now I got my orange belt. And I get kind of bored after a while and kind of give up. What was it like for you to get into martial arts as an adult? Was it different from what I've been experiencing? And am I looking at the wrong school and I need to find a different school to go to?
Yeah. For me, like the guy I learned from, he's awesome because he wasn't afraid of using technology, because he was thinking, all right, martial arts, any kind of tradition, is essentially a human technology to improve your skills at maintaining your safety. That's all it is. And people that shy away from using digital technology because, oh, well, this is an ancient tradition, you need to go live with the hermit on the mountaintop if you really want to learn the real sauce, are actually hampering the progress of human technology, right? Because think of that. That's the old way of doing it. You were limited by time and space for who it is you could learn from back in the day. You would have to go find a master who would accept you and then spend years being that person's caretaker, whipping boy, whatever, in order to learn that. And that was the fastest way you could learn. But nowadays, if you think of those systems of jiu-jitsu or whatever as choreographies, think of it like you're going to learn the Britney Spears dance choreography off YouTube, right? Now you can spend the time anywhere you are on the planet, 24/7, 365, you could learn the choreography on your own time. And then when you're in the presence of somebody who's more skillful than you, you will have done the memorization part on your own time, which makes that hour you spend with the teacher more valuable because you have more experience in that hour for you to understand what it is they're trying to communicate to you instead of trying to spend that hour teaching you what to do next. Right? Because exactly what you described is what most people think is the best way to learn a martial art. I go, I spend an hour, I see a technique for 2 minutes, and then I spend 10 minutes practicing it, half an hour trying it out on my buddy, and now I wait another week before I do number two.
Right.
No wonder it's going to take you 10 years to get a black belt. Right? I was thinking about learning banjo. Okay, I'm going to hand you a banjo for 20 minutes once a week, and that's it. How long is it going to take you to get better? But if you have an instructor who's hip to being online, who has training videos that can get you up to speed very quickly, it's amazing how fast you can learn, how quickly you can encode it in your body because you're the person doing the work, right? So that's the way I learned. The Wing Chun system is a series of six forms. First form teaches you how to stand, how to balance, how to define your range, all that good stuff. It has basically 85% of the postures that you're going to use in the whole system. The second form teaches you how to move that posture, those structures, how to move those in straight lines, and how to rotate kind of effectively along your vertical axis. The third form teaches you how to move in indirect ways. The fourth form is the wooden dummy. If you've ever seen a kung fu movie where somebody's beaten up on a log with arms coming off of it, that's it. The fifth form is the double knife form, basically like big old war knives. And the sixth one is the long pull, which teaches you leverage, right? How to make a small movement here and down the line, huge impact. So each form is broken down into a series of postures, which again, if you think of it like choreography, dude, if you had access to those videos, right? That's exactly what happened to me. I got access to the first form. I practiced it a lot. And then I would video myself doing the posture. If I did all the doing the form, and if I did all the postures in the right sequence, then you get access to the second form.
Hey guys, I'm really excited to make this announcement. Starting in April 2019, my partner and I will be hosting a monthly 200-hour residential yoga teacher training at Ananda Ashram. This yoga retreat and spiritual educational center is just 1 hour from New York City, founded in 1964 by Sri Brahmananda. Located in the foothills of the Catskill Mountains, the ashram provides a serene, natural environment with woods and meadows surrounding a lake. Once a month, students will immerse themselves into life and culture of ashram living and develop a deep understanding of yoga. This training teaches you to incorporate asana, chanting, music, meditation, mindfulness, Ayurveda, and scriptural study into a challenging practice and prepare students to live a fulfilled and empowering life. Our goal is to attract students across multiple backgrounds to produce emboldened, informed, and confident yoga teachers. For more information, please visit our website at mayatriyogaschool.com. Thank you, and now let's get back to the show.
So then you learn the second form, then you video it, then you post it for review, and then he goes, yep, looks good to me. Here's the third form, right? So in that way, you're still graduating levels, but you're not just chasing some color belt,
right?
And you're not playing around in the same room with children, right? You're not just wasting time. So the three levels of refinement are how does it look, right? It's like, does it look right? Okay, looks right. You get the second form. So you go through this first level of just learning how to do the postures in the right sequence. The second level is, all right, now are the postures in the right place? Is your tonsil kind of floating out to the side too much, or do you need to bring your elbow in? Okay, cool. Right, so you just constantly refine the levels. Then the third, so the second level is, how does it feel, right? How does it feel to be in the right alignment? Then the third level is, how does it behave? How does it engage in relationship with an opponent, your friends, your family, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So in the process of learning these very physical postures, it's the principles and the philosophy are baked into all of it already. So you can learn it very quickly, but it takes a lifetime to unpack what it is you are literally embodying. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's just amazing to me how compact it is, but how it could provide a lifetime's worth of context to better understand yourself, your relationships, romantic, business, family, otherwise, whatever. It's all baked in there.
So how does one get into or find a decent martial arts academy as an adult? Because like I said, I'm going to go back to the original statement. I feel like every time I look for a martial arts studio, it's the studio just geared towards kids with a couple adult classes.
Yeah. I'm kind of biased in that I started sharing this stuff with the world mainly because of how difficult it is to find a good place.
Yeah.
Because again, you're limited by space and time, man. If you're looking for a real live space to go to, you're limited by your geography and good luck. Right.
Right.
But if you find an online place, there's no limit to it. Right. Because there's this belief, and I get it. There's this belief that you have to pressure test and spar and fight with people in order to reach a really high level of skill. Mm-hmm. I get that. But what's your intent for training? If you want to train to get healthy and stay healthy long term, that is usually antithetical to the sparring approach.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because so often I hear, especially in the jiu-jitsu world, yeah, it was great. I love it. But, you know, my partner blew out my knee. But they didn't feel it. But, you know, I can't walk for 8 months, but I'm looking forward to getting back. Like, that is Stockholm syndrome, man. Like, no, don't do that. Train for long-term health and wellness, not cash in your health for short-term ability to beat somebody down.
It's interesting that you said that, because I feel like all adult men that I come across, all they want to do is jujitsu. They're all like, yeah, jujitsu. Yeah, I'm going to roll around on the ground and learn how to beat someone up. And then I'm like, oh, cool. How's it going? Oh, my shoulder's pulled out. My knee's busted. I'm like, you're a 38-year-old accountant. Why do you need to roll around on the ground and beat somebody up? What's the benefit for this?
Right. The physicality, right? The exertion, the championship of defeating an enemy, right? Those are all really attractive things to that mindset, right? You want to challenge yourself and really test your mettle, test your skills against an opponent, right? Because out there is the enemy. But the more you work on stuff, you start to realize you are your worst enemy. You are the biggest challenge, and controlling somebody else isn't as attractive an option anymore. So you learn to control yourself, and in the process of learning to control yourself, you then learn how to manage other people. So to me, it's a fundamentally backwards approach of trying to submit somebody else. Well, if you can't control yourself yet, you've got no business trying to control somebody else. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, remember the old Conan the Barbarian movie where they're just like, what's the secret of life? And everybody's answering, and the one guy's like, wrong. And then Conan says, to crush your enemy, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of the women. And I feel like, why do you need to even have that mindset today? Why can't we live in this world where we're like, the goal of life is to be a better person and help others? And I'm learning martial arts to become strong both within myself and in my physical form to make everybody else around me better.
Right. But for me, aggression is awesome because there are people who don't ascribe to that philosophy of can't we all just get along? And violence is their go-to strategy for getting what they want. And as much as I would like the world to not be that way, it is, though. And if you can't deal with and manage somebody like that, you are holding your well-being hostage to their whims. So the only way to ensure your long-term well-being is to be able to manage that experience when it happens. Right? So it's kind of one of those things of the only thing that could take care of a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun, right? That kind of thinking is a person dedicated to peace, togetherness, wellness, who is incredibly skilled at violence. That is virtue. So I've always said that weakness is not a virtue. Making yourself weak is not a good strategy for making the world a better place, because you will always be at the mercy of stronger people who have worse morals than you do. So being strong, being capable of violence to manage somebody with poor morals is the best thing you can do for making the world a better place.
It's interesting that you say this, because I think about myself a lot of times when I get into these conversations. And I have this tendency when I'm not in my best of state and I'm kind of like, you know, struggling here or there, trying to get my business to the next level. I sometimes go to these like dark fantasies where like, when I get to this next level in business, I'm going to like send an email or send a letter to the person that really made my life difficult 8 years ago. And I'm be like, I just did this and I'm super successful now. Thank you for teaching me not to be you. And I'm angry. Yeah. Feel good.
Yeah.
And I have to remember, I'm like, that's not making me better. That's making me worse. That's a bad part of me. That's the dark side of me. It exists. I acknowledge it, but I'm not going to act on that dark notion because it's not going to make it better.
Exactly. Right. So that to me is the power of meditation. Because when specifically Zazen or just sitting there, right? You're sitting there staring at the wall, which is so incredibly boring that your mind tries every trick in the book to talk you into not doing it. So when you're sitting there, it's going, hey, here's a great idea for an article that will finally get you booked all over the place. And if you don't write it down right now, you're going to forget it. So go write it down. And then you don't. You just sit there and your mind goes, hey, you look really stupid. If somebody walks in, they're going to think you're a dummy. So move. And then you just sit there. It's every time that your mind tries to throw you off balance and you keep just sitting there, that is 1 second more of self-control than you had without doing that practice. So you start to understand the space between those thoughts and then you're acting on them. And then you get to choose what actions you take. And then you could still have those dark impulses, right? Emotional control isn't ignoring intense emotions, but it's being able to experience these intense emotions and then not use them as justification for poor behavior. And to me, the seated meditation is phenomenally good at cultivating that self-control, but Kung Fu is even better because you learn that if you act on those impulses, you get punched in the face. And that is a really, really good motivator to not do the wrong thing.
Right. I love the similarities between yoga and martial arts, and there's a lot of history between the two. And you know, the mythology of martial arts is it came from India through the teachings of yoga during the age of the Buddha, when the Buddha sent out his missionaries and they went from India up into Tibet and from Tibet to China, and then through China it spread. And that's where kind of that history and story of yoga created this form of fighting that was mostly about mind, body, and spirit. And one of my goals for this year is to move away from practicing yoga in the studio and develop a really deep, solid, home-based yoga practice. And I know right now I'm kind of struggling a little bit because one of the things I would do is I would go to yoga studios to practice yoga as a way to put my phone down, turn off the computer, get into touch with my breath, and just listen to the teacher call to yoga poses and practice. And it's been 15 years, and I've been teaching yoga for 10 now, and I'm not getting what I used to get out of a yoga studio as I used to. And my teacher said it's because it's time for me to develop a home practice. And I know when I begin to practice and I'll get into it and I'll be moving for like 15, 20 minutes, and I'll get that idea. I'll get that thought, or I'll be like, oh, I need to write that down. And if I stop my yoga practice and I go over to my phone and I write it down, then my home practice goes out the window. But if I just stay disciplined and to say, I'll get to it afterwards, I'm in my practice right now, I begin to develop a deeper control of my mind. And if I stick to it like on a Monday and a Tuesday, I have a better focus Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday because of it. But when I fail on Monday, the rest of the week, this kind of goes to shit.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. I often call Kung Fu battle yoga.
I like that.
The way I explain it, I'm like, look, Kung Fu is just a series of postures. And in that way, it's yoga, except for if somebody tried to push you off the mat, you would know what to do about it. I basically only did Kung Fu on my own in my own home. Right? I built a wooden dummy to practice with by hand. Right? I built it using hand tools from the 1800s, that kind of a thing. So I've really only had a home practice for most of my Kung Fu life. And for me, I value that because it's much easier to externalize a lot of your drive to succeed. Just in the same way as I want to dominate my opponent, and therefore I will gravitate to a tradition or a style or a practice that allows me to manhandle somebody else. So I'm going to go do that and crush my enemies, because I want to control the external. And in that way, it's really easy to leverage the external to drive your internal choices. Right? I'm going to sign up to this gym because now I have dollars invested, and now I have to go to this place. And now that I'm at that place, I'll do the thing that you do at that place. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's in a lot of ways more difficult to just do the work where you are. Like, screw it, I'll just do push-ups where I am. And it's more available to you to work where you are, but you're less likely to do it because you haven't mastered the internal work yet, right? People that haven't discovered that all work is internal work, and you can do it anywhere and anytime. If you still think the world is out there, you're going to be chasing it out there. But what you're looking for is right there with you all the time, because it's you. So having that skill and the discipline of creating a practice that you do no matter what is kind of the practice of cultivating your own personal alignment. And just like what you said, if you screw up on Monday, well, that sets the momentum for the rest of the week.
Right? Yes.
So you start to realize that, okay, I have to manage this thing called me every second. It's not a every once in a while kind of a thing. This is a total life control thing that I'm dealing with. And every moment that I let that lapse is another moment I'm allowing slouching in my life.
Right.
And no wonder my this, that, or the other thing hurts so much, right? In a finances way, in a relationship way, whatever. It's all a function of how good are your skills at controlling yourself. And the more out there you look for solutions to that, the less control you're going to feel, because you're going to realize it's not around you all the time, right? So yeah.
And I agree. I think there's something I want to follow up with on it that, mm-hmm. that triggered another thought. But I think my final thought here with martial arts is, I think one of the other reasons why people struggle, which is going to lead me to the question, you live, let's say, in Somerville, New Jersey, and you're practicing yoga or practicing martial arts at your dojo. And then you get a job transfer or you get a life transfer and you need to move to, you know, New Hope, Pennsylvania or Asheville, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And you pick up and you move to a new location, you have to start all over again. And that, I think, discourages a lot of people from wanting to explore Kung Fu, martial arts, Taekwondo versus yoga or any other form of exercise. You do it in town A and you go to town B. All your skills, all your training transfers with you. And with martial arts, it does not. So for the individual listening, where can they go to begin to learn martial arts the way you did online?
Thank you for asking. yeah, that's actually a really good point. That it's yoga is pretty standardized, right? There's a universal language for it. Wing Chun is kind of developing that renaissance. It's a super popular in 64 countries, that kind of a thing. So you'll get some flavor of it most places where there are people. If you're looking for that in-person kind of training. Another detail to that is every day you're starting over, weirdly, right? Mm-hmm. So doing a move is just a more obvious transition, but it's not like something ends. It only ends if you stop doing it. And every time you choose to do it again is another transition into maintaining that alignment with the practice. So even if you move away from your active community, you could bring that connection with you anywhere you go because it's all you anyway. And that sounds very woo, but it's not. It's your skills. It's your time. It's your effort that you're putting in, and you can do that anywhere you go with as much as you've learned, right? So there's no end to what you can cultivate and what you can build, even if you move to nowhere. The third point is, if you do move to nowhere and you do want to train, I started a website, right? A community of people dedicated to learning and practicing Wing Chun. So it's wingchun.life is the URL. And there is where I post articles and videos and that kind of a thing. But if you want to train the way that I trained from me, I started a community because I'm fascinated by arcane knowledge. And I don't mean arcane in the terms of wizards and spells and that kind of a thing, even though I'm a professional mind reader. I like arcane knowledge in the terms of hidden knowledge, not known to everybody, right? Kind of secret things. So to me, the secret, the biggest secret, is understanding how people work. And in the mental way, that's psychology, that's mentalism, that's That's applied psychology. That's the leverage of understanding the mind system. And Kung Fu is understanding the body system. So it's coming to the same place from the different strategies. So it's called the Inner Sanctum .online is kind of my community of people who are dedicated to understanding their minds and bodies more effectively by practicing Kung Fu, martial arts, Wing Chun, that kind of a stuff. And what's so neat about the Wing Chun system is that self-practice is built into the system itself, because that wooden dummy is your training partner, because your training partner, the wooden dummy, has better angles than any human being you'll ever meet. And he's always ready to train. He's never going to sucker punch you. He's not going to blow your knee out. But with that wooden dummy, you learn your distance management, your positioning, your transition from this position to another one. Everything you would want to train with a real live human being, you can train with your wooden dummy. So you can get a really high level of skill with a consistent, concentrated effort working with the wooden dummy that other people are looking for rolling around with people on the floor.
I wanted to take a quick break and remind you that it is never too late to make a choice and decide to make lasting changes in your life and create the life you want and learn to live life on purpose. At Your Wellness Yogi and the Living Life on Purpose community, we are dedicated to helping you discover that spark in life. We offer a variety of life coaching packages that meet your needs and budget. We have group coaching, monthly mindfulness mastermind calls, and one-to-one coaching. Get started today and take advantage of our two free personal one-to-one coaching conversations by taking the Circle Life Quiz, our free life assessment tool that helps you reveal the big picture of your true dreams and paves the road for a real personalized action plan to take control of your life. Visit yourwellnessyogi.com/life.
For those of you listening, Jonathan will send me those links so I can have them put into the show notes, which I just IM'd you to send to me, John, because I don't have them.
Beautiful.
And I was Googling them, but I couldn't find them. And it's interesting what you were talking about, because I want to go back to a previous statement where you were talking about discipline and life and goal setting. And something I found as a life skill for me that was taught to me maybe about 3 years ago from Hal Elrod. He wrote The Miracle Morning, and I'm part of his mastermind group.
Yeah.
And every year around January or February, I write down my goals for 2019. And I have them in four different categories. I have financial goals, personal goals, business goals, and the trainings that I want to complete. And then what I do is I find someone on Fiverr, and I have them design a really nice flyer. And, you know, like I have like, you know, a tagline at the top, like this year's 2019 goals. Life is short. Live it on purpose. And that's my tagline for this year.
Uh-huh.
And then what I do is I take that flyer and I convert it into a JPEG, and it's my desktop. And every morning before I start my day, I look through my goals, and it'll be like save $15,000 for my, you know, coaching business, save $20,000 in personal finance money, learn to play four songs and play the guitar well enough to play in public. Just different things, different goals, what retreats, what business conferences I want to go to, how many life coaching clients I want, how many podcasts, what do I want to get done this year? And because I look at it every day, and I look at it every morning, I begin to want to take action to set those goals. If I did not do that, I would never be able to accomplish what I get. And that reminds me and resonates exactly what you're talking about, is how I sort of live my life by writing down what I want, reviewing it, and then taking action every day, because that's what life's about.
Yeah, that's it. There's the secret sauce. That's all it is. That's the only thing it can be, is daily effort. That's it, right? Because so from my speaking side of things and performing, doing the mind reading show, mm-hmm. So that's weird, right? You don't just fall into that. You don't just wake up one day as a world-class mentalist. It's only the result of daily consistent effort and making choices with that as the goal, right? Every single decision becomes, does this get me closer or farther away to being what I want to be? And then it's really easy. But what happens is I do the shows, and then I'm talking to people afterwards, signing autographs, all that good stuff. And over the years, I kept hearing the same thing where people would say, you know, I can't even imagine doing what you do. And they mean that in a couple ways simultaneously. The first being, I can't even imagine reading minds. That's amazing. But also, I can't imagine not having a desk job that I'm tethered to with a boss that tells me to come in early and stay late, that keeps me from my family. I can't imagine doing anything other than that. And here you are doing everything I've always thought was impossible. I can't even imagine that. And if you can't imagine something, how are you going to make it real? So to me, the first step is freeing people up from their fear of there's no way this could work. So therefore, why worry about it in the first place? I won't even allow myself to dream of something different because so far, all of my dreams have been crushed. So it's better to just keep my head down, do what I'm told, and everything will be fine. But then you slowly die from the inside. So the first step is being able to imagine that you could save $20,000 for your coaching company, for $15,000, for whatever. Being just having the gall, the daring, how dare you imagine something better? You know what? Yeah, I'm going to, because that's step one. And step two is putting in the work to make it real. So your life is the result of the quality of your imagination and the skills you have to make it real. So the psychology is the imagination and the kung fu are the skills that make all of your life. Like that's it. There's all the ingredients. Go bake your own cake.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. That's why I love having you on the show. It's just a lot of fun, like-minded person talking. It's just been a great time. And I think a lot of people like to put ourselves into these little boxes in life, like what I do for a profession is my life. And then one day I'm going to retire, and then I'm going to have another little box I'm going to fit into. And that's what I do. I don't dare to step out of my box. And I think that's sort of a lot of that like change that's going on in the world right now is this: you don't have to fit into one category in everything you do. You can have a couple different things going on in life and still be happy and still be successful, as long as you don't reach for something and be attached to it, that you just do it for the sake and joy of doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on the other side of that equation, if you can't imagine it, well, think about you've imagined it and now you're attached to it, right? That you've got this outcome that you want, and I'm not going to be happy until that outcome happens. And I'm only going to be focused on the goal and what I want. And that's it, man. That's all. And you completely ignore the process required for that outcome. You're never going to get that outcome. So many people make a whole job out of wishing for that outcome and ignoring doing one thing that would get them closer to it.
Or it's the other side where they just focus on things like, I'm going to save $20,000, and they sacrifice their entire health and well-being. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to get the next level job promotion, but they don't care how they get it. So they're going to rub every person the wrong way and backstab their colleagues, and then they're going to get that job promotion and everybody around them hates them and they're horrible individuals. Or they're going to get in power by pointing fingers and calling names to other people, and then they're going to get attacked back, and then they're going to say, why am I being attacked? It's because you ignored the journey and you just focused on the results.
Yep. Exactly. So you've got to do the right thing at the right time, in the right place, the right way. If you're ignoring any of those qualities, you're lost.
Yeah. Jonathan, this has been a great part two. I really do appreciate it. Is there anything else that we want to talk about in the next 10 minutes? This went by so fast.
Yeah. I love chatting with you because you take it in fun places. It's just a delight. So yeah, anywhere you want to take it, I'm happy to go.
I think the final thing that we can just wrap up with and try to bring it back to, you know, martial arts is this one question that I keep looking at on your talking points one sheet. And it is, how is our internal environment like the fire triangle? What is that?
Oh, man. I forgot that was still on there. That's a deep cut. I might have to Google, search that article. But basically, the fire triangle is that without these three elements, there's no fire. Right. So it's just fire safety 101. If there's a fire and you don't want there to be a fire, then this is the best thing to do, is to get rid of one of those things, which is heat, fuel, or oxygen. Right. So that's the fire triangle. Right. So the fire triangle of success, I think, I use the fire triangle thing a lot. Let me think. It's like your posture, your attitude, and your mindset, right? Those kinds of things. If you're missing the physical alignment, the mental alignment, or the emotional alignment, your life's going to be way out of whack and go off the rails pretty quickly. Right. So you can't sacrifice the one to get the other two. You can't sacrifice two to get one. You have to know how to cultivate them both, like all three simultaneously, if you want to maintain a high quality life.
And my final question then is going to be, are you doing any public speaking for 2019? And if someone wanted to go hear you speak, where can they find you and where are you speaking this year?
Most of the time, you can't do it because mostly I work for private clients like BP, State Farm. Companies will book me to come in and deliver training and mindset tools to their teams to make them more effective at negotiation, presentation skills, sales, all that kind of good stuff. So I don't actually do many live open to the public events where you might be able to buy a ticket and come see it. So the best place to connect would be to go to likeamindreader.com, and there's a list of all my services and that kind of stuff. But also there's my email. Just get on my email list, and that's the best way to stay in touch and to be up to date on whatever project I'm working on.
Thanks, Jonathan. For those of you who are listening, we are going to have all his show notes, websites, information, all linked up on our show. And I just got another IM from Jonathan with his likeamindreader.com, which I will have in the show notes. And thank you for doing part one and part two with me. I really do appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you so much for giving me the space to really spread out and explore the breadth of how far these ideas go. You know, it's tough to wrangle it into just one. So I really love the opportunity to come back and continue the conversation.
Thank you for listening to the Living Life on Purpose podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. please subscribe to our show in iTunes and write us a review. By writing us a review, you will help raise our profile so more people can find us on iTunes. Links to our sponsors and other tools can be found in our show notes, along with other useful information. For more information on our yoga and coaching classes, please visit our website at yourwellnessyogi.com and please sign up for our newsletter. Life is short. Learn to live it on purpose.